You're listening to
Okay, Boomer, Teach Me Sales,
a show for sales pros, sales leaders, and small business owners.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And I'm Tom Bloomer.
And we believe life is sales.
And that sales should be fun and rewarding. So subscribe today.
And engage with us on LinkedIn and Instagram. And now, Tom, let's get to today's show.
Okay, Kelly.
Okay, Bloomer. Who's the boomer we've got teaching us sales today?
Our boomer today is Pat Banks.
I know that name.
I know you do. We worked together for about 25 years at Clipper Magazine.
Yeah, you guys have been through a lot of ups and downs and different things all around.
Yeah, you had to pour me quite a few glasses of wine after some of those meetings.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, some of them.
Yeah. You know, we went through a lot. We were not always on the same side of every discussion. I guess that's the polite way to put it.
Okay.
But you know what? There was a respect there. We worked together for so long. We're still friends today. And I think a lot of it is because no matter what viewpoint we had, we both cared about our customers, our sales teams, and we had the same goal in mind for our company.
So the outcome was always the same, but getting there was completely different.
Oh, getting there was always a fun ride.
Okay, so why don't we listen to what she has to say?
Do you think she'll be nicer to me today?
Oh, probably, but I hope not. I'd love to hear one of your arguments go live.
No, stay tuned. Hey, everyone. We are here with Pat Banks today. Pat, we've known each other for, what, a quarter century?
That's right. 25 long years, Tom.
Yeah, they have. and I'm sure as we go through, we're going to share some stories and talk about a lot of the different things that we went through in all those years with Clipper Magazine. And I'm really looking forward to that. First, let's talk. When I first met you, I had just been at Clipper for a couple of years. Uh-huh. And you were, managing a radio station or uh-huh. in radio sales, right?
Yes.
Can you walk us through how you came to Clipper and what you were doing before?
Yeah, well, I had been, it's kind of a funny story, actually. I had been in radio sales and I became the national sales manager for two local radio stations in Reading, Pennsylvania. And that's what I was doing at the time I came to Clipper. What happened was the Clipper owner decided that he was going to try to recruit me because I had started a magazine like Clipper Magazine at the radio station. And I was outpacing his magazine.
That was one of our key things back in the day. When we saw a good competitor, we just gobbled them right up.
Yeah. And so he stole my top sales rep at the radio station, which is why I started the magazine. And then he got me there to talk to him. And as you know, he was very charismatic. And somehow I walked out of there 3 hours later, quitting my radio sales job and drinking the Kool-Aid for Clipper Magazine.
Absolutely. And pretty thankful, right?
And never regretted it one day of my entire Clipper life.
Yeah. Now, and so you came, you ran their main
Lancaster,
location,
yeah.
Right? Lancaster, Reading, yeah. York, and those areas.
Yeah.
But then you also took on a variety of different roles over the years. So kind of walk us through some of the different things that you did there.
Well, I was a regional sales manager, as you know, and mostly central Pennsylvania. Then I also took on Louisiana and Phoenix. And then I was asked to be vice president of sales administration, or as some people fondly referred to me, as the rate police.
Yeah, Pat, it wasn't a fond. It wasn't.
So basically, I had final say over whether a contract ran or didn't run, and it was all based on rate. And that really caused some gray hairs for us all, right, Tom?
Annette, I wanted our listeners to hear that because some of the things that you're going to be talking about today, you've done it on the East Coast, West Coast, you've done it in a variety of different roles. You've been there out in the street, knocking on those doors, talking to people. But then you've also had to be in the position to decide, do I let this deal go or not this one and that?
Right.
So to me, that's, you bring a really interesting perspective. So many people have been on one side of the door or the other, but they haven't had to wear those dual hats. So I think that's an important perspective you're bringing today.
Right. Well, thank you.
My name is Alex from Chicago. Okay, Boomer, teach me something about sales.
All right, Pat, I told you we're going to debate today, but I'm going to let you pick the first topic. What do you want to talk about today?
Oh, good. Okay, Tom. So what do you think most sales reps would say is the thing that keeps their customers awake at night? What do you think the number one thing is?
Well, they need more, they want more business, they want more clients, they want more sales. It's got to be more sales, right?
Wrong.
I wish I could say that was the first time you told me that in 25 years, Pat. But
so it's funny because, you know, I recently read this study. It was the National Federation of Independent Business Owners, and they asked this question to thousands of business owners, and that's actually number 45 on the list. More sales.
45.
I was shocked. Well, okay, so what are some other things you think that,
wow, now you got me thinking. I'm trying to figure out how a business owner had time to give 45 answers that were more than that. Maybe cash flow? Is they're concerned about cash flow?
Well, that's a biggie, but it's actually number 25.
Okay, I'm getting better. I'm going in the right direction. Wow. Well, was this article before the pandemic? I guess the uncertainty
Now. Yes. Okay, so that was a biggie. That I think was in the top 10 somewhere. Uncertain economic conditions. Does anything else come to mind since COVID?
No, why don't you, so what were the top ones? Because now you kind of blew my mind with sales being at 45.
So uncertain economic conditions and the amount of federal income tax they pay on their business, oppressive government regulations.
Wow, which was for small and mid-sized business owners?
Yes. Well, think about it during COVID. Think, what if you're a restaurant owner and they're telling you can't be open? Then they're telling you can be open, but at 25% capacity, which, you know, doesn't cut it for you. Or now you can be at 50% capacity, but that doesn't cut it for you. And then the looming, you know, we have looming, you know, threats of more shutdowns if the cases keep rising. So that's right now, that's really, that was number two.
That's keeping everybody up right now.
Yeah, it is. And the top one, which after I read it, I thought, why didn't I think about that? The top one is actually the cost of their employees' health care that they have to pay. And that's the number one.
Yeah, and nobody knows for sure where that's headed at this point. So
right. So with a business owner having so many things on their mind, that's really unrelated to more sales or more revenue.
Well, unless I'm selling HR services or health coverage, or unless I'm a tax attorney, how do I get my product or service to be relevant for them?
Right. I mean, and how do you help them have an easier business life? No matter what you're selling, no matter what product or service you're selling, how do you help make your customer's life easier? And that's kind of my passion. For small, you know, my passion is small business and helping small business owners. And that's kind of what keeps me up at night, is how do I best help those business owners?
Things that take someone from being good to being a really great seller.
Well, there's some ones that everybody knows about, but one of my favorite ones, these are not in any order, by the way. I'm not saying this one's first, but one of the ones I love is hunger. Okay. And Tom, you know what I mean by hunger, don't you?
Well, Pat, I'm always hungry. but I'm assuming you're talking about that desire for achievement or that the competitive juice, something along those lines?
The need to sell beyond the money that they're going to earn. The hunger to be the best, to sell more than anyone, to be competing with themselves all the time, you know, hunger. That's one of my favorite ones.
Go ahead. You know, that's hard to measure, right? So I'm sure you've hired a number of people over the years. Mm-hmm. No matter what you see on the resume, is there a way to know if they have that?
I think sometimes you can pick it up in a live interview while you're interviewing a prospective salesperson, but I really don't think you can get the full awareness of how hungry they are until they start performing or not performing.
And it's hard to, we really can't teach that, right? That's just...
I think, no, some of these are kind of innate things that people are born with. Another one now, here's one that you can, I think, you can nurture along is confidence. And I've actually had customers say to me or say to good and great salespeople as they were buying from us that one of the reasons they bought was because of how we carried ourselves, not just our communication skills that showed confidence in our product or service, but actually how we physically carried ourselves with confidence. And those are things you can practice. You can fake it till you make it with confidence, because you might be at a new job selling a new product and you don't have the confidence right away. But you can appear to have the confidence.
Yeah, I think you can, but that's also maybe an attribute, because some people it's the opposite. You know, they until they're 100% confident, they just can't even act it. It's right. It's tough to say, but I agree with you that you may not be 100% confident, but if you know how to act and portray that, it definitely
and
comes
show
across
confidence.
That way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, the other one's enthusiasm. It kind of goes along with confidence a little bit. You know, if you're enthusiastic about your product, your customers will be enthusiastic about your product. And I think that's something that's hard to fake. If you don't believe in your product and you're out there trying to push it, I think it comes through. I think lack of enthusiasm comes through.
I was just talking with someone today that's in advertising, and they're relatively new in it, and you know, struggling as so many people are right now, and we're talking some things through, but I know they're going to be successful because they had that belief in their product, and they have that desire to do well, and they cared about people, they cared about clients, and I think that's where a lot of that enthusiasm or motivation comes from. And there's a lot of ways for people to motivate themselves, right?
Right.
You know, one of the goals of this podcast is that people listening, you know, get excited, have fun with it, and get a little bit motivated. And maybe they get jazzed up to make 3 or 4 more prospecting calls today, you know, because of it.
Exactly. And that's why I love, when I was doing sales training, you know, you and I both did a lot of training for Clipper in our sales training. And we had certain topics that we did. And I always loved to tell stories, real on the street with Clipper customer stories. And the reps, that they loved that the most, because it showed them what really can happen out there. And one of my favorite enthusiasm stories, and I think you'll probably recognize this once I start talking about it, is a sales manager whose name is Susan. And she had a customer. And it was a potentially big customer. It was kind of a smallish customer yet. It was a pizza and it was a franchise deal. And they had like 34 locations. So it was sizable.
That's a good size.
And she just felt like she wasn't getting enough from them. And she felt like she could help them more. And at that time I was doing our specialty products division. So, you know, I was really pushing postcards, and that's a product I believed in more than any product I have ever sold. And she asked me to come down and go in there with her. And we went in, and he had said no to postcards multiple times. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned, and here, this all ties in with how to be a great, go from a good to great salesperson is talking about what's going on with his business today. He was the marketing director, and what his short and long-term goals were. But one of the things, and he kept saying no to postcards, but Susan and I were so enthusiastic about the postcards. And what we learned in that sales call was he had 3 underperforming stores. And normally you kind of stay away from the underperforming stores, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had that much confidence and enthusiasm, and so did Susan, about the postcard product, that we proposed that for his 3 underperforming stores. And I said to him, if we can get these underperforming stores to have double digit increase in sales, would you then be willing to look at postcards for all your other stores? And he's like, well, sure. So now what I had to do was cut him a deal. And it was a sweetheart of a deal for him. But we did a 10,000 postcard mailing for each of those 3 underperforming stores. 1 store's sales the first week were up 46 or something percent. Another one's was 38%, and another one was 28%. He was blown away. And he came back, and he became one of our biggest postcard customers in the whole company. But what he said was he would not have gone for that deal because he still had to spend a sizable amount of money to do that test for his underperforming stores. But he said it was our enthusiasm for the product that really got him to go with that test.
Yeah. No, it makes it a testament to, like you said earlier, you're a risk taker. So uh-huh. You took a risk with the offer and things, but yeah, that enthusiasm and I wasn't there obviously, but uh-huh. I'm guessing that a lot of that came from your experience and your confidence with those postcards. As you uh-huh. said, you thought that was the best product. You had 100% belief in it.
Right.
You know, to me, that's where those first 3 things you've mentioned, they all kind of tie uh-huh. together because,
right.
you know, when somebody is hungry and confident and they know that product's going to work, that's when they get very enthusiastic and customers will feed off that. They really will.
Like adaptability. You know, if you're not adaptable in the environment that's out there now, you're going to drown. You have to be able to be adaptable. And, you know, some of the changes that come along, I mean, let's face it, you and I have been through a lot, you know, over the past 25 years, a lot of changes with our company, a lot of changes with products. If we weren't adaptable, we wouldn't be sitting here talking right now. I think adaptability is very important.
Absolutely. And especially in 2020 and,
right.
and not just with sales, but on almost every type of job out there. I mean, people are working from home now that never had to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son works. He's an essential worker in a grocery store environment.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a mask for 9 hours every day. You have to, you know,
yeah.
and you have to adapt. You have to adapt. You have to know how to deal with customers that are also following the rules and those that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we go back to that list of what keeps small business owners up at night, finding employees that are going to be adaptable has got to be one of the key ones for them.
Oh, that was actually number 10.
See, so, I'm getting bet by the end of this podcast, I'm going to have that list nailed down, Pat.
Yeah, number 10.
Excellent.
So of course, communication skills, that's pretty much, you know, a good one. Have to be a good communicator to be a good salesperson or a great salesperson.
Yeah.
Honesty, I think, is a big one.
If they're going to do it for a while.
Yeah.
I've seen some that come in that aren't, and it would drive you crazy, especially uh-huh. when you had a product that you knew that there was no reason to not be honest, right?
Right.
You know, just be honest, tell them what you can and can't do. But those that weren't, they don't last very long because they're going to run into problems.
Well, now we get to the drum roll. My number one attribute of getting from good to great and the main topic today.
All right. I'm going to try to edit in a drum roll. So when you listen to the actual episode, we'll see how that worked for us.
It's empathy and or a caring attitude is number one. And I could sit here and tell you thousands of stories where that trait helped me or helped a great salesperson sell. And so I, when I went back to regional sales and I was out in California every week and riding with a lot of different salespeople, we had about 40 different salespeople in California at that time. I decided that as I was riding with them, I was going to ask customers. I was just going to come out and ask them. And I'm talking about not prospects. I'm talking about good, loyal customers that had been with us for a while.
Okay.
And so I asked them, I said, why do you continue to buy from me or from, you know, Joe or from Susan or whoever? I said, even though my product's more expensive than other products that are just like mine, or maybe it's not always your best option for your business, yet you continue to buy, why? And this all ties back to what we just talked about. The things that were on the list outside of the product working for them, it was all about the salesperson and the relationship with the salesperson. And it was about the confidence, the enthusiasm, but the number one thing that came up, which blew me away because I thought this was it, but I really didn't think they were going to say it, mm-hmm. was that salesperson truly cared about their business and took a genuine interest in their business.
So, Pat, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm in complete agreement with you. As always, for the past 25 years, we've been in complete agreement pretty much all along.
All right, Tom.
Absolutely. But I 100% in agreement with you on this. And I want to ask it in this way, because this is something I noticed over the years. Even with people that do care about their customers, right? There's a lot of reps that care, but then there's those that, you know, what do they say? There's talking and then there's action. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to say, you know, I love my customers and that, you know, I care about them. But then there's the sales rep that is bringing them more information, spending extra time on their ad, you know, remembers the kids' birthdays or what they were doing or mention, you know, drops off a book or, you know, I had some sales reps, they wouldn't spend a penny out of their own pocket for holiday gifts for their clients. And then others that would buy things all the time for their clients because they knew they were building a long-term relationship. What are some of the ways that you've seen good reps? Like how do you the customer saw it. Mm-hmm. What did they see? What were those reps doing that showed the customer how much they cared?
Well, early on in the customer relationship with the employee, they didn't vomit their product all over the customer.
That's always appreciated.
They asked the right questions. They showed an interest in the history of the customer's business and ownership of that business. They showed, you know, they asked the right questions. They talked to the customer about their short-term goals and their long-term goals and what were the issues they were having at that time. And and they didn't talk necessarily those things around their product. So our product happened to be advertising. So, you know, the last thing that person did was ask about advertising, because if you do, then you're just every other dog and shoney, you know, pony show salesperson. Yeah, right. They showed an interest by asking the right questions, which, you know, is a big pet peeve of mine also, that salespeople don't do enough of. So by doing that in the beginning, they showed an interest and a caring attitude. But as the relationship went on, you mentioned some of the things, you know, spending extra time to help the customer, you know, it depends what you're selling, but in this case, ads, you know, helping them put a good ad together, you know, researching some things for their business or industry, coming across information just in their daily business that they share with the customer, you know, dropping off an article, a book, sending a link on email. I thought you might be interested, you know, to read this article, that kind of thing. Here, you know, how about following up quickly on any client communication? That's a big one.
Yeah.
I had a lot of customers complain, you know, about reps who they call for some, maybe they wanted to buy, you know, or maybe they had an issue. And it would take days for the reps to get back. So I know this is going to sound terrible to that salesperson out there, but my rule for getting back to a customer was 1 hour from the time you received the message. Now, that's a little stringent, I know, but I put that on myself. Now, there's times you can't. Maybe you're in with another customer and you're there longer than an hour. You know, absolutely, there are going to be times, but it shouldn't take days. You know, it shouldn't take more than a few hours at least. So that to me is a biggie. I don't know if you agree with that one.
You know, I do. And it's for you and I, it seems like a basic thing, right, on how important it is. But I think so many reps, they don't realize you don't have to have the answer in an hour. You don't have to solve the whole world's problems. And just get back to, hey, I got it. Let me look in. Let me find
out. Exactly.
You know, so that somebody, you know, just think of ourselves. How often I'll send emails sometimes on something that's relatively important. And 3 days later, I'm, hey, did you get my email?
Yeah.
And that's just, that should never have to happen, right?
And that, I have a story around that one too. And I know that you know this to be true, because when I became, you know, when I was sales administration or when I was sales operations, or even when I had sales reps, reps would call me and they'd be shocked because I answered the phone. They'd say, oh my God, you're picking up the phone. Or they'd say, you always pick up the phone. Or if you don't pick up the phone, you always get right back to me within like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And they thought this was like amazing. And to me, it was like, those salespeople, when I was a VP of sales, those salespeople were now my customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, communicating with your customers on a timely basis. And again, you hit a key point. You don't have to have the answer for them right then, but they so appreciate that you got back to them right away and said, oh, I can't answer that question now, but I'll find out.
Yeah, so. No, it's so important. I remember when you switched roles after you came out of the VP of the specialty products, mm-hmm. and somebody new went into that spot, myself included, 6 months later, we're calling you when we had serious dilemmas because we knew you'd at least answer the phone and could give us some help. Because somebody in particular was, you know, a week later still hadn't responded. But, you know, it also goes to me what I saw with a lot of salespeople, and hopefully salespeople listening today will realize, if the only time you see your client is when you need something, you know, if you're only seeing them when you need a contract signed or to pick up a check or to work on something, you could have them for an account for 5 years. You're not building that relationship and showing them you care.
Great point.
When do you go to see them when you're not there in a sales position? And some sales reps, they don't want to take, how do you have the time for that? And my thing was, how do you not have the time?
Especially, you do have the time.
Yeah,
you know, you're probably seeing someone that you're canvassing a neighborhood. Or you have another customer that's in the neighborhood with another one, you know, you can't stop in, even if you're just putting your head in the door, you can. Here's another thing that sounds trite, but it works. And I know people are going to roll their eyes, but it really works.
We won't see the eyes roll. That's the beautiful part about podcasting.
That's the beautiful part.
Yeah.
A written, handwritten note after a contract's been signed, or you've had a good experience with your customer, or maybe there was an issue with your customer and you're thanking them for, you know, just bearing with you while you solved it. In these days of paperless communication, people really appreciate that type of thing. They really do.
Pat, they can't see it on the podcast, but if you look on my bulletin board back there, I actually got one of those in the past 4 months. And it's on my bulletin board. I can't remember the last time somebody else sent me a personal note. So it does it.
And
especially
you liked
today.
It. And you liked it, right?
Yeah, it was. It really, you know, somebody took the time to get that, write them themselves, makes a big difference. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about how direct mail is here. It's going to be here for a long time. It's definitely not dead. It's growing. And one of the reasons is because people are excited nowadays to go to the mailbox.
Right.
Because
right.
None of us get bills in the mail anymore, right?
Right.
So you don't have to go. It's like, oh, it's another bill, utilities and phone. And
yeah.
You're not getting those that way.
Right, so right.
It's good stuff.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So another thing is service issues that arise with your customers. They're going to happen. You know, there's going to be mistakes made or you know, whatever industry you're in, issues are going to arise. And burying your head in the sand and thinking it'll go away on its own or somebody else will handle it is not a good way. And even if you have a whole department that handles customer service issues, you and I have seen this, Tom, reps that there is an issue, they hand it off, they call the customer service department and rant and rave and hand it off to the customer service department and don't stay involved. Mm-hmm. To me, wrong, okay? You stay involved, you stay in communication with your customer until that issue is resolved, because there's another way that you show your customer that you truly care about them and their business.
Yeah. Well, and to me that, Pat, that's, and on the attributes, one thing we haven't talked about is that personal accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was doing it, it didn't matter if there was a mistake or there was an issue. Mm-hmm. I had to deal with it. This mm-hmm. is my account. This is my commission, right? Mm-hmm. You talk about starting right. up and you're on strict commission, only commission, or commission being an important part of your compensation. How do you leave that in other people's hands? Right. You know, I'd have sales reps lose a $100,000 account, which in our world, that was a big account.
Yeah.
Now, in some areas it's not, but right. for us, if somebody was going to sell $500,000 a year, $100,000 a year account, that's a big account to them. And there'd be an issue, and I'd be on the phone with the salesperson, and they'd be telling me how this department cost them this, or this department did this. And I'd look at them and say, no, they didn't. You have one $100,000 account. How are you not involved? How do you not make sure right. these things happen? Because I never lost a $100,000 a year account because of a mistake somebody else made.
Right.
Because that was I was involved. And I think sales reps need to understand if this is their livelihood, boy, you better take accountability and be involved on every step of the way.
Yeah. And there's another great story I want to tell around empathy and a caring attitude. But just to finish up here, you know, you can also, like, I know it comes out of your pocket probably, unless you have some kind of, you know, expense account that your company allows you to do this. But what's wrong with inviting your customer to breakfast or lunch once in a while? And not to sell them anything, you know, just to thank them for their business and to show them that you appreciate your business. Or you said it too, you know, I always spent out of my own pocket to buy my customers holiday gifts. Now, some companies do it for you, and our company did for many years. But I spent a lot of money out of my own pocket. I mean, those customers were my livelihood. I couldn't see not doing it, and I could see how much they appreciated it.
Yeah. It's one thing to give them the company calendar and a box of pens or something.
Yeah.
It's different to drop off a book that you know they're going to be interested in. I had a big account once, and I think I was in Phoenix, and I found a memorabilia piece. Mm-hmm. Huge Yankee fan, and I found this. It was a Don Mattingly little bobblehead.
Right. You
know, those are the type, and that didn't cost me, what it cost me, maybe 12, 15 bucks.
Right.
But those are the things that absolutely make a huge difference. All right, hold on. I want to come right back, and then I want to get into that last story that you have.
Okay.
All right, so Pat, why don't you share, we have time for one more story. You have a good one for us?
Okay, this is a good one. And this was when I was not the seller, I was the customer. This was when I was a marketing director at a major shopping mall. And I had this salesperson who was from a small AM station that would have done nothing for my demographic, okay?
Right.
I would not be spending money on this person's station. This guy was persistent. He dogged me. And it got a little annoying, but he did have he was really showing an interest in my job in the mall, but I just couldn't justify, you know, buying his product. So I kept turning him down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was having a big home and building show in the mall the next week, and I bought a lot of radio time for it. And he called me the first day that he heard my commercial on the top station in town. And he says to me, gets me on the phone, because I even answered the phone back then.
Okay, very good.
And He said who he was, and he said, I just called to tell you, I just heard your home and building show commercial. He said, and I want to tell you, it sucks. That's what he said to me.
And you still answer the phone.
And I said, excuse me? And he said, it sucks. And he said, now, I'm going to press a button here, and I want you to listen. I almost hung up, but I didn't. He said, I wrote one. He said, and I produced it, and I want you to listen to it. And he hit the button, and he played the commercial, and it was awesome. It was funny. I mean, it was good. And I said, that's a great commercial. I said, you wrote and produced that, even though I've been like slamming the door in your face. He said, yes. And he said, now, if you'd like this to be your commercial, tell me what stations that you bought radio time for, and I'll drop them off. I'll drop a tape off at every station. So I did. There were four other stations, and he didn't ask me to buy anything. And like 2 hours later, when I started hearing my commercials, it was the new commercial already on the air at all four stations.
Wow.
Well, guess what happened? I started buying from him, even though I didn't really need his station, spots on his station. And I said, I'll tell you what, I made a deal with him. I said, I'll buy spots on your station if you agree to write all my commercials for the mall. And he did. And, you know, I was his customer, and the marketing director that took my place was his customer. And but he showed such a caring attitude, and so much went the extra mile.
Wow. And you know what? That is so 2020, Pat. Because mm-hmm. back then, you did not have near as many people giving mm-hmm. value up front. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you have to. There's mm-hmm. a lot more of that. So I don't know if any idea what happened to him. I got to imagine he's went on and maybe left that AM station and was successful somewhere.
Well, actually, he went on. He sold that station, and he became my boss at the station that I was the sales manager at.
Yep. You could just tell
he was destined. Either way, it worked for me. It was win-win.
Very good. It's a good thing you were buying from him, so that eventually he at least had a good fond memory. Right. That was good. Right. Pat, really appreciate all your time today. This has been great. I think knowing our 25-year history, we could probably do this every few months and have just as much fun. But
yeah.
For today's episode, any final takeaway or suggestion for our listeners?
Yeah, I have a challenge to throw out there.
A challenge?
To all your podcast sales person listeners.
I like it.
So every business day that you wake up, choose 5 random businesses from your current account list and call them, not to sell something, just to check in, just to call them up. Hi, this is Joe Blow from Anybody USA, and I'm just calling to check in. We haven't talked in a couple days or a couple weeks or whatever you want to say, and I'm just checking in to see how things are going and if there's anything that I can do to help you.
I love it.
And it pays off. I mean, you know, running a small business is very complex, or even a medium-sized business is very complex these days. And that kind of a caring attitude will get you places. So that's my challenge.
Excellent. And the only thing I would add, Pat, is hopefully some people will listen and they'll put that into practice. That's not something you do it for a week and say, oh, you know what, uh-huh. this didn't work for me.
No.
That's something that those seeds you're planting, they're uh-huh. they're going to grow. You just got to keep at it, and it's going to work
it
well.
It will pay off. It will pay off in the end, I promise.
Excellent. Take it from a couple boomers, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Pat, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Tom, and good luck to everyone out there.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn at Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.